Blog Talk Radio.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
I didn't know that there was beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door. Like,
but why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized, and their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67% with grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hey everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers. Oddball, loser, fish out of water, speak up. Talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Make sure I unmute it this week. Hello, folks, and welcome to this fine Saturday, whatever time of day it is for you. It's afternoon here in lovely, windy Ohio.
Wind is crazy today.
Dude,
my power was flickering again.
Yeah, it's as bad as last weekend. Like, seriously, where's the good weather? I want to cry. Anyway, this is Barefoot is Legal Radio, a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the rights, legalities, and legalities of living barefoot lifestyle, as well as sharing information, encouragement, directions.
Just general support.
Thank you. I'm the host. I'm your host, Audrey, with my co-host, Miss Phoenix. Hi.
Hello. I hope you all are enjoying your Saturday or Sunday if you're listening on a later recording through Mix Indie Internet Radio or Mix 105 Indie Internet Radio. I know we complain a lot about the weather on here, and I feel like that's just a very barefooter thing, though.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest. You know, a lot of us as barefooters are nature people. That's not to say that all barefooters are nature people either.
But most, if not all, are in the ground some degree.
Yeah, and even if you're not a nature person, you're a barefooter, the cold, and you know, that can create a lot of different barriers, natural physical barriers to being able to barefoot,
mm-hmm.
depending on where you are in your journey, depending on, you know, your own limitations with the cold and stuff like that. I know, you know, I've talked about mine this winter, which has been incredibly frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
The weather has been nice enough where I have been able to go out in nature more, so I am glad about that at least. I think it was either Saturday after the show or Sunday. I'm trying to remember which day it was. I was able to get out barefoot, and it was just amazing. I have pictures to share later. This week after that just ended up being completely crazy. Ended up, you know, for those of you that don't know, you have two neurodivergent co-hosts, one with ADHD, one with autism. So here we are, you know, doing the best we can.
Wow.
And I ended up in an overstimulation period that lasted about 2 days.
Right.
And so that was very frustrating. And it's been a very interesting week. So I was definitely grateful, though, for my experience this past weekend to be able to get out and barefoot and just, you know, squish in the mud and feel the different textures. There's definitely a sensory aspect to barefooting that, you know, we can talk probably all day about if we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as neurodivergent barefooters, and it's
well, there's so many different textures in the world that you don't get to experience unless you're barefooting. Like, you don't, if you can look at it with your eyes and tell, oh, that's rough, that's smooth, yada yada. But there's sometimes where things like even look that way, but as soon as you touch it with your feet, it might be the opposite or something completely different.
Yeah.
So there is a whole slew of experiences in this world that honestly, you can't really experience unless you're barefoot.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to know if a carpet is soft or rough. You're not going to know what those rocks feel like or that sand feels like, that grass. You know, that's like a whole other world once you can experience it through touch, not just, you know, your sight and your smells, you know, but.
Yeah, and I think we also forget how much touch is one of
the major senses,
And it's really important to understand that touch is a big thing within overstimulation and understimulation with ADHD and autism, not
mm-hmm.
just sounds and bright lights or smells are even a big thing that
right.
we don't realize. So there are a lot of, you know, aspects of it. Even taste and textures of eating is a big thing that we experience.
Yeah, life is meant to be experienced fully. And again,
mm-hmm.
touch. Yeah, you touch some stuff with your hands, but how many people actually go and touch the earth with their hands? They see it as dirty or gross. And then, I mean, and obviously if I've touched the dirt and stuff with my hands, I want to wash them before I eat something. But like when you're feeling it with your through your feet, you just wait till you get home. If I step in somebody's loogie, yeah, I'm going to pull out a wipe and clean that off my foot. As much of an sensory experience as that is, it still makes loogies make me want to barf. That's one thing that...
Yeah, I'm like, let's get off of it.
Mucus is one thing I can't handle. But
me too. And I think even...
That's the weirdest thing I ever stepped on barefoot was a slug. And I felt it. It was like a snot balloon.
Oh,
anyway.
So those are some more of the, you know, downsides of of, you know, sensory stuff with barefooting. But there's definitely a lot of
beauty. There's more upsides than downsides.
Yeah, and with it being April 1st, April is Autism Awareness Month. I looked it up just a minute or two or whatever ago, and ADHD Awareness Month is in October,
yep.
just so you guys know. But we are now in April, which means we're in Autism Awareness Month, and it's really important, I think, to remember that respecting barefooting is a facet of respecting autism and the sensory issues that come with it, the overstimulation issues that come with it. Barefooting was a start for me in my, you know, diagnosis process journey in a way. I started realizing that the reason why I didn't like wearing shoes was because I was overstimulated by it. And hearing, you know, you talk on that and other people talk on that with how wearing shoes is overstimulating started making way for me to realize how many of the things that I thought were anxiety or mental health issues were really just I was overstimulated. And when I'm able to remove those shoes, the situations aren't the same. Or if I'm able to make certain sensory accommodations, whether it's, you know, sounds, lights, or whatever, that I'm able to remove the factors that lead to meltdowns is what they're called and with autism, rather than it being what I thought of a mental breakdown. And, you know, when I was in a place of over-identifying past traumas with every time I'd have a meltdown, realizing that I didn't really understand what was happening with me. And that's a big part of autism, is not understanding your own needs and your own body. And with ADHD and autism both, there's issues in being able to rank priorities and rank your needs. And
they're all the same. Yeah, it's really tricky. Well, that's what I love for you, that you've started, that having been able to help you with this barefoot journey is to help you, the fact that it's helped you to recognize and cope with the certain issues. I don't want to say issues, it makes sound bad, but you know what I mean, that certain factors,
struggles,
the different factors and facets,
You know?
Oh, absolutely.
But...
And I just hope
the beauties of autism even.
You
know, there's a lot.
For sure.
I always knew that I had insanely high pattern recognition skills. To the point that it drove some people crazy. And having very, you know, particular ways of doing things and functioning. And, you know, I've been able to understand those better. And it's amazing how even my journey through barefooting has helped me to understand myself on a much deeper level with understanding my mental health and what's actually happening. Because with autism, there's a big, and this isn't to say that everyone with autism experiences it, because there are, it is a spectrum. And not a spectrum as in like a rainbow, that from, you know, red to purple, technically pink is actually on the other side of purple, most people don't know that. But anyway, one of those little factoids. But it's more so like a spectrum as in the color wheel, where there's thousands of shades and stuff like that. So it's more like
it's
in that sense of how, you know, not everybody has the same trait.
And people need to recognize, too, it's like, okay, so here's this factor. You could be anywhere with this one factor, and then another one, you could be anywhere with have any it was in that, and then you could separate them each.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it a spectrum. It's more, it makes me think of like a flash of light, almost like you got the central, and then it's like wheels, spokes going up, like a bicycle wheel.
Well, and the reason why I use the color wheel example is because Chloe Hayden, her username is Chloe S. Hayden, Hayden spelled H-A-Y-D-E-N. She is an autistic content creator, and she was the one that I remember, at least I heard it, maybe other ones have brought it up. But she was the one who brought up a more so of the color wheel spectrum idea rather than like a rainbow spectrum.
I feel like I follow her.
Yeah, you could. She's very popular on there. She, recently just put out a book. I forget what it's called. I can go to her Instagram and let you guys know in a second, but I actually do want to,
probably finish your thought. So
yeah, I'll finish my thought first. But she had brought up how it was like more so the color wheel, and kind of say too, like we're talking about how you can have these different traits, but within these different traits, there's different spectrum of intensities or different spectrums of how it applies to you. And so she's an autistic content creator herself, and, you know, she had brought up how complex, yes, that's actually her, so how complex the spectrum actually is.
Different, not less.
Yes, so the book she's putting out is called Different, Not Less, A Neurodivergence Guide to Embracing Your True Self and Finding Your Happily Ever After. Still available on pre-order, but it's honestly a book that I do plan on reading, but I thought that was a really interesting idea and way of looking at it that she brought up to show that the spectrum, the, you know, ASD spectrum is way more complicated and complex than people think. And so I do recommend checking her out. But I think it's important to, the reason why I brought this up is, you know, I was going to say for me, like with autism, there can be a struggle for most of us with understanding our emotions and communicating our emotions. So since we already naturally struggle with communicating and understanding our emotions, when our bodies are experiencing things and, you know, and that could just be overstimulation, stress, that could even be physical symptoms.
Well, emotions are tricky to name.
And navigate, and especially if you are neurodivergent, because even with ADHD, this is a struggle.
It is, and a lot of times I'll be like, I don't know what this feeling is. Like, say if I'm really angry, sometimes I'm like, I don't know what this feeling is, but I want to punch somebody in the face and rub them in the dirt. And my ability was like, that's anger, honey. Like, you're mad. I'm like, okay, well, then I'm angry.
Well, and
you know, like, describe, like, what it is I feel like I want to do about the emotion, and then get help, like, what is this? Like, I'm better at it now, but there's still some times where it's, like, it could be so intense or so faint, even that I'm like, I don't know.
Well, in ranking priorities and understanding, you know, our different needs and where they're stemming from, that is a struggle with all neurodivergent people.
It is. Unfortunately, from life.
You're good. But well, one thing, too, I realized how I would over-identify emotions like anger or even anxiety or sadness, or where I would think that I was triggered by trauma without even realizing it, when really I was just overstimulated.
Yeah.
And so a lot
of
the time,
that's slipping shoes off and just standing in the dirt with my eyes closed and breathing will help. Like, I just barefoot, just stand there, breathe and focus, like, what is happening? I try to name, like, they do that 4-3-2-1 thing. I don't do that. I do three things that have happened that led me to where I am, and then I try to think of three things I can smell in that moment and three things that I could feel. Like, mine's just 3-3-3. But then it just kind of helps bring me back to myself to be able to – but the barefooting is key, because, like, if I do it with shoes on,
and being overstimulated is something that can be hard to navigate because – you know, I realized, too, and that thing you brought up about naming things that you can see, hear, and smell, that can even help when you're in an overstimulation episode, because what I noticed for me is I can get so bombarded by every noise, like making this little rickety noise, sounds from lights, sounds from the heater, sounds from the air purifier, sounds from TV in another room,
people breathing,
sounds from the fridge, sounds from the dishwasher, sounds from just the water pipe.
You know,
and I could be sitting here and watching something and I'm still hearing and I'm still experiencing all these things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to punch somebody. And it's not that I'm angry. It's not that I'm upset. It's I'm overstimulated.
There's too much happening at one time.
Yeah, and it's not that I even actually want to punch anybody or that I actually want to ever cause anybody real harm. It's just like
You want your fist to flail out and find something.
You need some kind of outlet. And so I think it's really important, too, to remember how barefooting plays a role in, you know, autism, and it plays a role in ADHD.
And one thing I like to do, too, I just want to throw this out there, is, like, when I'm having one of those, especially because sometimes with the neurodiversity, like, you'll feel, you just feel absolutely worthless, and, like, nobody gives a hoot, right?
Because so you're too self-aware while being, okay, sorry, not to interrupt you, at least I know with autism, a lot of us are too self-aware while lacking social awareness.
It's like, I know I'm obnoxious as crap. Am I really not? So what I like to do too, when I do that, so like I said, three things I can smell, and I like to say three things that happened that day, preferably good. But anyway, the other one is three people that I know who care about me no matter what.
Yeah.
And then, because then that reminds me that I'm not totally worthless, because at least three people care about me.
Yeah.
At least three people are cool with me or helping me through certain things, you know. So it's just kind of, it centers me, and it calms, sometimes just knowing that there's three, even if it's just three, like I've hit an age where it's about quality, not quantity, right? And it's like, at least three people care. I mean, I know there are more than that, but it's like whichever three pop in my mind first, you know, just like that I know no matter what, I will be safe and I will be okay and I have a safe place to be.
Yeah. Well,
as long as I'm barefoot.
Yeah. And barefooting has contributed to me being able to understand what's happening in my body when I'm too,
right.
Just like when you get too overstimulated by noises. And like I said, naming those can help, because then you realize what is bothering you, what is going on, figure out in your surroundings what's going on. But it's kind of the same thing with barefooting. When I'm able to take my shoes off, I'm able to overstimulate myself, regulate myself enough that I can understand what I'm actually feeling, what I'm actually experiencing, what does my body actually need, what is my body actually feeling.
My mind, yeah, because our minds and our bodies are never on the same page unless we stop and take a minute to center ourselves. They are in two different planets sometimes.
Yeah, and I think also realizing, you know, through my like autism diagnosis journey or whatever, but you know what I mean, like whatever you want to call it, I was able to realize how different our mind or mental dimension or headspace is from our heart space or heart dimension or our emotional dimension, whatever you want to call it, how different mental and emotional health actually are. And I was able to understand the differences more so between the mind, the emotions, the body, the energetic components, and barefooting helped me understand that more too with researching electromagnetic fields more than I have before, even though it was something I'd already researched in the past before fully embracing barefooting.
Right.
But also then distinguishing between like the soul even and your spiritual self. It's helped me realize how different these things are, because before figuring that out, and I hope that, you know, a lot of people with the same struggles can find value from this. Before, I thinking that, oh, I'm having a meltdown, not knowing that I was just having a meltdown because of, like, overstimulation with autism, I thought, oh, I'm having a breakdown. It has to be emotional. It has to be this or that. And then and when I realized what was really going on, I could distinguish between what is emotional distress and what is mental distress.
Also, and what is real and what is imagined.
Yes. But even that physical distress, understanding what your body needs is also an issue with autism, like going to the bathroom, knowing when you're hungry, not feeling hungry even when your body is, you know, those appetite issues, those issues with food textures and tastes, and and also just other needs that our bodies have, just realizing that how different those are and learning how to navigate those and understand those.
Yeah.
And so if you are somebody who knows and has known for a while that they're neurodivergent, understand that those are, you know, normal parts of being neurodivergent, and we're all feeling them. We're all struggling with them in our own way. And there is nothing inherently disordered, I would say, about autism. We need to keep in mind that the reason why it is a disorder, and yes, it may be a disability, but that doesn't necessarily make it disordered. The reason why it's disordered is because we live in a society that is set up against not even just neurodivergent people, but neurotypical or holistic people is another term for it. It's set up even against holistic or neurotypicals to the point that, of course, it's going to be destabilizing and overstimulating or even understimulating for people who are neurodivergent.
Right.
It is our society and the lack of accommodations that makes it become disordered. Because the truth is none of us are inherently broken. None of, you know, it is our experiences that we go through that break us.
Yeah.
Not ourselves. And finding out you have autism is not a detriment or a death sentence to your intelligence. And it never will be. Because I realized that a lot of the things that people have praised me for my entire life for being so intelligent, my ability to talk about anything for a long period of time is, but, you know, that within my special interests, especially since I am a more vocal person with autism, and there are variations. Some are nonverbal, some are like me, and are sometimes too verbal, you know, for other people to understand. But realizing that a lot of the things that people praised me for being so intelligent and so smart, were related to my autism, my empathy that people have, you know, valued in me more than I've even valued in myself at times, is because of my autism.
Which is another thing that people misunderstand, thinking that autism people have no care or empathy in them. I'm like, that's also a spectrum. That's all, you know what I mean? Like, there are some that maybe they're not so much, but then there's are those that...
Well, yeah, and just, okay, so the thing, too, is, like, a lot of us, regardless of how logical we are...
Empathy and sympathy are two different things.
Regardless of how logical we are, we usually do have that empathy. The problem is we don't know how to socially communicate
empathy.
That's
what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, and I get it. I get what you're saying,
but
I'm trying
empathy,
to communicate it in, like,
I know.
Through my own experience.
Like, empathy versus sympathy. Sympathy is where you show it.
Yeah, and so we often actually have very intense empathy, and autism in women is understudied and underdiagnosed because it's been understudied.
You used to think women couldn't even have it.
And especially... now you'll see how it affects even, you know, the under, God, I hate being nervous sometimes because I can't get the words out, but I also love it. Unfortunately, non-white women are also even more underdiagnosed. Black women are also very underdiagnosed, but the most underdiagnosed group is actually Latina women, or Latina non-binary people, because of the crazy Latina stereotype that is so ingrained into society that a lot of women, like myself, was diagnosed with BPD first when it really wasn't that. And other women in general are often going to be diagnosed with BPD first because we show autism generally speaking, we usually show autism very differently. And also, we have to think about masking. We mask very different. The way that we are taught in our social roles, unfortunately, gender roles being a huge part of that, that affects how we mask.
Yeah.
And most women with autism do have stronger sense of social cues and stronger sense of emotional cues and expressing empathy and understanding other people's emotions because of the way we are taught and raised that we have to quickly learn to recognize these things or else we are going to be demonized or put down or berated. And while it is more socially acceptable in general for all men to be less aware of emotions and less socially
almost encouraged
and a lot less socially pleasing for everybody. And so we also have to think about the way that gender roles contribute and how racial profiling even contributes to this. And with autism, you know, social cues can be taught, recognizing emotions can be taught, but it's not the same thing that happens in ADHD. The reason why most people with, and there is research to back this up, the reason why most people with ADHD miss social cues is because they are not paying attention to them. And that isn't an
important
insult because it's just a part of it. You think about that hyperactivity. They're paying attention to all this other stimulation or stimuli in our external environments or even in their internal environment within themselves, that they are missing social cues. It's not that they don't read them or they don't recognize them or don't understand them. Well, with autism, we don't always recognize or understand them because they don't make sense to us. A lot of these are social nuances, and we think, well, if somebody has something to tell us, they're going to just tell us. And we're so direct about everything to the point that we're
like everybody else to
told, unfortunately, that we just assume that's how other people are going to be. We assume we are so logical. And I want to get into this logical dimension and the difference of emotions in a second, because that was kind of what started me on this tangent. So we are so logical. We are very pragmatic, even dogmatic at times. We have to have a system that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Things have to make sense. We need to understand the workings, why something's happening, why something's operating, and how it happens to understand it, not just be told, oh, this because of this.
Just because.
Yeah, we need to understand how it works so that it makes logical sense within our schemas and within our minds, because we're so logical about everything. We just assume that that's why we take everything so literally, is because we're so logical, and we assume that people just mean what they say. And so then often people try to look for the hidden meaning in what we're saying.
Like Amelia Bedelia, when you take everything literally.
I do.
Yeah. And
favorite book.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that book series.
Toss the salad, and she goes outside and throws the
salad.
Neurodiverse
salad, I call it. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
So a lot of times people are trying to find the hidden meaning in what we're saying, and there isn't any hidden meaning. There isn't a manipulation tactic to be looked for. We're saying what we mean. We're saying how we feel. And sometimes, too, because we are so logical when we experience emotions, it makes it harder for us to express in them because emotions aren't logical. So a lot of us are empathetic, and that's always there. It's just we don't know how to show it,
mm-hmm.
and we don't know how to express it in a way that makes sense because we're so logical.
Right.
And what I noticed too, for me, the things that people can look at me as being a bad friend, I'm the voice of reason. I'm the voice of logic. But the people that are my ride or dies in my life, they love that about me. They're like, dude, no, I need someone to bring me back down to earth. What do you mean you're too logical? Mm-hmm. I need this. Without you, I'd be up in the clouds or in the ocean right now. You know, like I need that grounding. But the thing too is for a lot of us too with autism, and I'll, you know, get off this here in a second. We want to show we care and that we're here for you through action. We
mm-hmm.
want to fix something. We want to make something better. We want to solve something
mm-hmm.
because we're not really good with emotions.
Right.
They do feel foreign to us. And barefooting has really helped me to even understand emotions in the body and emotions that I'm experiencing, because it's been able to take away the overstimulation of shoes, but also provide me with stimulation benefits that help me kind of get out of my headspace and back into my heart and back into my body.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the times we're so bombarded by other stimuli as well that we don't know how to process or understand our emotions because we're too overwhelmed by it, everything else. And so it's not that we lack empathy. It's not that we're cold people. It's just if we seem annoying, like trying to fix things or making things our responsibility, and you're like, what are you doing? Like, you're not helping. Like, oh, you're making this about you. Like, no, we're trying to fix it and solve an issue because we care. Because to us, that makes logical sense. We're not
mm-hmm.
always familiar with emotions. It's not that we care, we have empathy for you, but since they don't make logical sense for us, we don't know how to fix emotions.
Right.
But we know how to do action, make you food, give you a hug or whatever. You know, we just know how to do things.
Right.
And so I think that's like, you know, my spiel for, you know, Autism Awareness Month. I feel like it's something that needs to be put out there. It's something that's not talked about enough. I honestly feel like if it was talked about more when I was younger, I would have realized it way before 21, which technically I did realize it before I turned my, or even turned 21, but even longer, I would have realized it, you know?
Yeah.
Also, I think that neurodivergent people need to be seen because in this world, they're not.
I know.
And as to neurodivergent people, I feel like, you know,
because anytime we, even if we come up with some great ideas, we're still made to feel like we're, insignificant. Uh-oh, what did I do?
Oh, you're good.
So just, you know, remember to be patient with others and be patient with yourself and know that you are enough. But, you know, barefooting is an aspect of autism, and it has helped me to understand my emotions, understand my body, understand what's happening in my mind space even. So I recommend trying it out. But also keep in mind, guys, not everybody with autism or ADHD even
some of them
like barefooting. Some of them, like autistic, cannot stand it because it's And that's okay. Stimulating. It's a sensory no-no. And that's okay too. We're just here to spread awareness and remember that, you know, barefooting does have its place in autism, and autistic people do have their place in the barefooting community.
And should not be ostracized or intimidated or oppressed out in public simply because they need to have their shoes off. That shouldn't be discriminated against for any reason at all, but especially when it's something that helps your mental health.
Yeah.
Or physical health, just saying. Oh.
And so, so I think it's important to shed light on the importance that barefooting does have within autism, because it's something that people don't understand. And barefooting is a simple way, obviously not in every industry, of course, but in most industries and in most classrooms, it is a simple way to accommodate for a student's needs.
Yeah, and it's a way that as long as you don't make a big deal out of it, it's not distracting. It's literally, it's quiet, it's non-chemical, essentially. Like, I mean, you're not putting...
And there aren't any medications that can help treat autism.
Right.
There may be medications to help treat ADHD.
Certain symptoms.
But unfortunately, there's even, you know, a national shortage on ADHD.
Yeah, mine are on back order again.
So, again, be patient with your neurodivergent friends and family and colleagues or whatever. But there aren't any medications to treat autism, and I want to throw that in there real quick. I didn't think about this before because most people don't know this. There aren't any medications to treat it. You can't cure it. You may be able to treat some of the anxiety, but a lot of that is actually over-medicating,
mm-hmm.
and they're finding out more that these medications that they've been trying to push on autistic people are actually over-medicating them and actually causing more harm.
Right.
So barefooting is a natural and actually helpful and effective way for helping treat autism for a lot of people.
It helps with a lot of the symptoms.
And we can get more into how barefooting is a way to treat a lot of other things and cope with a lot of other things in a second. After our ad break. But this is Barefoot is Legal Radio, and we will be back in a jiffy.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized, and their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67% with grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hey everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
I've heard stories from teachers in classes where their students are grounded that they have half the level of referrals for discipline. Some students who were in tears because they were experiencing success when before they were experiencing failure with their behavior and discipline. I've heard stories from teachers with autistic children who have been grounded where they have less of what they call the meltdowns. And the meltdowns are less frequent and shorter, and they come back into the classroom and they're learning more than they had learned prior to the grounding. It's amazing what happens, not just with the teacher at the front of the class, but what can happen with the student sitting in the class. And just think if every single student and every single teacher in every single classroom in every single school across this whole world was grounded.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, folks. We are back with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as encouraging, empowering, and just supporting each other in general. About to check out my spit by a second.
Yeah.
So before the break, we were talking a little bit about autism awareness, since it is Autism Awareness Month, and for a lot of autistic people like myself, Phoenix, speaking. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're good. But for a lot of us, barefooting is so crucial to us in helping understand what's going on with us and cope with, you know, the stimulation around us. I've known from my own journey that barefooting has really helped with regulating my nervous system, as it can often get dysregulated through overstimulation or even understimulation. And it's just helped me a lot. Now, keep in mind, not everybody who has autism is a barefooter or likes barefooting. Some people with autism and ADHD, because of their stimulation issues, they actually, you know, can't go barefoot or touch certain textures with their feet because it's just a sensory no-no for them while wearing shoes. For me and, you know, Audrey here who has ADHD, it is a sensory to even wear shoes. It's like, get me out of here.
It's like instant mind block.
But I have, you know, neurodivergent people close to me in my life that do have a weird thing with going barefoot, and they have to wear shoes, but they still respect me and Audrey for needing to be barefooters. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to know this isn't about, get them out of their shoes. You know, we don't want a war here. We don't want a civil war over shoes.
We're not force anybody out of their shoes any more than we want forced into them. That's what it is. We just want to explain our point of view and somebody who is wearing shoes.
Yeah.
Because really, shoes are not what make the person in the first place. So why is that something to judge people on?
Exactly.
I don't understand that. that's all we're about, is just like encouraging those who want to live a lifestyle while respecting those that don't.
Exactly.
And getting respect in return.
And with it being April, and April being Autism Awareness Month, I do want to give a shout out to Barefoot Autism Challenge on Instagram. The founder is Tyler Leach. So Barefoot,
hopefully we'll have him on in a couple of weeks. I got to remember to message him.
Yeah, we'll so we hope that we'll get him on during the month of April. But I definitely recommend checking him out. So Barefoot Autism Challenge is also a nonprofit organization, and it's just about spreading awareness on barefooting and autism, and the barefooting aspect of autism. And the creator slash founder himself, he is also autistic and a barefooter. And so for this year, so each year for reference, guys, he does a Barefoot Autism Challenge. And so each month of April during Autism Awareness Month.
Each week.
Well, he did it different this month. So each year during the month of April, he does, you know, different challenges
mm-hmm.
and stuff to help, you know, spread awareness on barefooting and autism and, you know, kind of have a solidarity with both. And so usually he's done, like, different weeks have different themes throughout the month, but this year for Autism Awareness Month, he's doing like a bingo activity thing. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of do your own throughout the month, yeah. however you're able to. And then there's a free space. And so you could take that as, you know, like your free space on your bingo. But I think that also gives way of the opportunity to kind of create your own.
Yeah.
And create your own challenge for Barefoot Autism Month or Barefoot Autism Challenge. So if you do plan on participating, definitely post pictures and use the hashtag Barefoot Autism Challenge. And definitely go check out Tyler's page and give him a follow at Barefoot Autism Challenge. But yeah, so I'm honestly excited to participate. I know last year things were so crazy. I didn't really get to post much, and I didn't really participate on social media as much, even though I did participate.
I just forgot to post stuff, and I'm going to do better this year. I'm determined.
And I think, too, as neurodivergent people, like, you know, we can get on a radio show and talk, whatever. You know, we got stuff to talk about. We've got ideas, you know. Oh, oops, we're off topic, but hey, here's content, you know. Like,
here's us being goofy.
Yeah, but when it comes to, like, posting on social media, I would say that most content creators are neurodivergent, and this is not even, like, my original thought necessarily. Like, I've seen a lot of people, like, even psychologists and therapists online even talk about this because it's the perfect formatting for neurodivergent people
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. But also posting can also be really hard for us, especially when we're in burnout state. You know, everybody
yeah.
does experience a burnout state, but when you're experiencing burnout states, which can last up to 2 years, like, usually the longest you'll see is 6 months to a year, but they can unfortunately last up to 2 years. When you're in burnout state, when you have ADHD or autism, it is a lot harder to post, to message, to reach out to people than when an allistic or neurotypical person is in a burnout state. So it can be very hard. So I think me and Audrey are, you know, we've definitely been in a burnout state for a while. But
oh, yeah.
as neurodivergent people, like, we still somehow are able to keep going through our ramblings and our neurodivergentness. Sometimes it actually helps us out. But, you know, even sometimes after the show, like, I need a couple hours to de-stimulate and, you know, and just feel like a person again.
Decompress.
Yeah, decompress. And one reason I say, like, you know, de-stimulate is sometimes it is overstimulating afterwards when you're, like, having to, you know, be on your brain,
yeah.
be on your toes. Oh, you know, what am I saying? Like, there's
don't
a lot
zone out,
pressure.
No matter how tired or distracted you are, don't zone out.
Yeah.
That's my
or
big one.
Trying not
to
make it obvious that you're doing this or that, or you're struggling with this or that today, and it could be within your speech patterns or anything.
And or with, you know, when you're having those days where your brain is a lot more off topic, it's a lot harder for us to pull it back in.
Or having to do something like, I don't know, paint your nails to keep yourself focused.
When I think one day during an ad break, you and I were both so overstimulated, like we took turns monitoring the ads,
yeah.
And each went outside to actually go barefoot and ground outside.
Yeah, we did.
So that
was a very long ad break that day. We played songs too.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys remember that, but that was the day, and we had a really long ad break because we were both so overstimulated. We had to just be able to go outside and barefoot and ground,
mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, with the weather not being so good and then the winds being crazy and then just, like, factors of where I live, it's hard for us to be able to go outside and ground like we used to do the show last summer before it got cold. You know, we would do the show outside.
Yeah.
And so we were able to, you know, barefoot and ground and just be in touch with nature while we did the show, which made it a lot easier for us to cope with being overstimulated. And
yeah.
So I definitely recommend trying out barefooting if it's something you haven't tried out and you are neurodivergent, but also if you're somebody that has mental health issues and physical health issues.
Even if you're
as
neurotypical
as
they come, it can be beneficial.
And even if you're not a neurodivergent person or necessarily a barefooter either, you can still participate in Barefoot Autism Challenge and, you know, use the hashtag Barefoot Autism Challenge. Because if you look on Tyler's page, Barefoot Autism Challenge, also has the same name, he's gotten on with a lot of, like, local news anchors over the last year,
mm-hmm.
And different like public local things like activities. I think if I look on their page, like there's a martial arts group and different things like that. Like he's been able to get recognition and get in touch with a lot of these people, they're not barefooters. It's something that they're new
right.
to or they're trying out. And so you can still show support for barefooters and people with autism and autistic barefooters without having to be one yourself. And just showing that support would actually help our cause further.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are two things that are still very stigmatized in our society. Being neurodivergent in general is very stigmatized. But I'll go ahead and share the activities that he has listed on the bingo. So there's water activity, playing with pets, golf or mini golf, walk a mile, dance, housework, driving, positive messages on foot. So you could write that anywhere on your foot or something and share it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, even if you're not a barefooter, if you support those who have autism and their cause, I mean, just do the challenge. It's only a few things, you know, and it would help bring awareness to and hopefully more research and whatnot into
the role that barefooting has for
yeah.
people with autism and even hopefully
the validity of
ADHD and other forms of neurodivergency.
Right.
Like, because we have to think, like, when we are building up in one area and allowing for evolution or progression to happen, we are making way for the same types of progression to happen in other areas and arenas. And this is why we should all support each other's causes that are aligned with bettering people and aligned with growth and helping each other and are aligned in with, you know, elevating communities. Because just because it may not affect you, it doesn't mean that it isn't going to ultimately benefit you.
Or it affects somebody. It could affect somebody you love and you don't even know it.
And the reason why it ultimately benefit you is because we need to get out of individualistic thinking in terms of benefit. When our communities are benefited or other communities in our state, other communities in our countries, other communities on our continent, whatever, when they are bettered, it allows an overall better lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to start thinking of benefit towards collective thinking and not just individualist thinking that we have here in the United States.
Yeah.
We need to think more about benefiting our communities and each other. Because
right.
it may not benefit you in terms of capital gain or whatever or prestige, but those things shouldn't matter. Think about the type of environment that you'll be leaving behind for other generations to experience, for people that you love to experience.
Right.
and who, and also the people that they may come to love experience.
Exactly.
Like, that is something that benefits humanity, and I think anything that benefits humanity benefits us all.
Yeah.
You
if
know?
You benefit, benefiting one group is beneficial for all groups.
It is, because that's how we have a more functioning society. When certain groups and facets of our society are broken down, the whole society is at risk of collapse.
Right.
Anytime anyone is oppressed, there is, a society is at risk for collapse.
Well, yeah, it only opens up for everybody to be oppressed. You know, like, they get away with oppressing one type of person, let's just stop them from going after a different one.
And it's really important that the power should
be. And look
be
at what's happening, y'all. We're not getting political. Just all I'm saying is look at what's happening.
Yeah, for real. Just look around you guys and pay attention, because you have to think too that a lot of the scapegoatism happening right now, that is exactly what is happening.
Mm.
And so we need to look at where these messages are coming from and why. And,
yeah,
you know, just pay attention to the way that these people spreading, you know, questionable messages, how are they treating others?
Right.
What do they stand for?
Right.
And
control and power is the same.
Yeah. And it's really important to remember that the power is with the people, and we need to empower each other and uplift each other.
Mm.
And you may not think barefooting is an important right. You may think that the fact that we are still having to prove that we have that right, because we do. There are no laws or health codes against barefooting, but it is still something that people are discriminated for. Those no shirt, no shoes, no service signs are illegal. And a lot of this is rooted in hate and discrimination against Black people, against Indigenous people, and against poor people. It is racist and classist ideology. Ideology. And we do have that right. It is a protected right. People barefoot for religious reasons or spiritual reasons, medical reasons, whether that's for their mental health or their physical health, or like what we talked about before with autism and ADHD. And people also barefoot for cultural reasons. And those are protected rights. Your right to believe in whatever you believe in. Your right to express yourself how you and the way you believe in, as long as it is not hurting others. Because freedom of speech does not exclude any natural consequences that may form from
right.
hate. Because, again, people are allowed to speak out against your hate. That is also freedom of speech.
Yep.
And, you know, so there is a lot of hate, unfortunately, that we still have to combat. And you may not think that barefooting matters, but if people want to discriminate over your feet, and if people want to oppress your body autonomy over something like your feet, what stops them from oppressing your body autonomy for other things?
Right.
And I am not trying to get political. I'm really not, because I know that's not what we're supposed to do here. But barefooting rights is about body autonomy.
I actually, for the first time ever, keep in mind, I've been barefooting basically forever, and we get most of our building supplies and stuff from Lowe's. First time ever this wench tried to tell, and I mean what I said, tried to tell me I had to have, next time I come in, I have to wear shoes on. I was like, why? Because you have to have shoes on in here. But why? Well, there could be, I was like, there's no laws or health codes. Well, there could be nails or splinters on the floor. I said, and that would be my fault if I stepped on one, not yours. Well, you have to have shoes on when you come in here. I was like, I don't think you're accurate. You can come in here without shoes. Watch me. Have a nice day. But keep in mind, she'd watched me for a while and waited till I just went and spent over $100 in her store to say something to me. Waited till I checked out.
That if she said something before then, she would have lost business.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have made that sale. And probably if she's throwing a fit about it, whatever position she's in, she probably benefits from the amount of sales.
Oh, I'm pretty sure she's from, like, their home office or something.
Yeah.
She'd be like, listen, lady, I'm going to be back, and I'm going to be back barefoot. And, oh, and Lowe's has made it now. I cannot find the email address on their website. Just write a message to corporate. I've been all over that website, and I cannot find it. They have a way to call. Monday through Friday, blah, 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 you know, but they have no email address. I'm like,
so you can't get documented proof if there's an issue?
Correct. I'm like, I can't find.
That's all right.
And I'm like, I know people, like, if emailed them before, somebody out there has the letter. I'm trying to figure out who so I can have that and take it. And I'm like, but I haven't gotten a hold of it yet. I messaged the crew, but, you know, everybody has lives. We all still work. This isn't the only thing we do is barefoot.
And this is a nonprofit organization, so people are not, you know, we're not getting paid for this. We are
exactly
volunteering our time and whatever, you know, resources we have to give through ourselves. But barefooting is a protected right. And if people are going to try to argue and harass you, because people do, over the fact that you are barefoot, imagine what that means for other body autonomy rights.
Exactly.
I mean, we've already had, and I'm again, I don't care what your opinion is.
I'm sorry, but you could get a nail or a splinter in your hand, too.
Yeah.
You ain't going to make me wear gloves in your store.
Yeah. And I don't, I don't care what your opinions are and stuff,
that.
But, you know, we've already had the overturn of Roe v. Wade, and also in many states, Black people do not have the right to wear their natural hair in professional environments or in certain schools,
which
even.
Pisses me off. Sorry for the language, but.
Yeah, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Because then someone like me can do what I do with my hair and have a rainbow, no problem.
People should be able to have their natural hair.
I'm not natural at all.
Exactly. And so you may not think that this matters, but it does. It does. People need to have body autonomy. And, you know, we already have Indigenous people, or their rights to their children have been overturned. And so now the U.S. government can come in and take their kids in any given moment. We have people losing autonomy over their bodies, or that never really had it over their bodies and are still being denied it. We have people who are losing rights to their children that should not have their children taken away.
Meanwhile, others that should not be parents.
And all of this scapegoatism legislation going through, it is not about protecting children.
Mm-mm.
When if we make schools safer and respect even children's body autonomy, that is how we make the world safer for children. Because children are having their rights to their own bodies stripped from them.
They should have choices. That's what we do at my center. We give our children choices on things. Granted, they're healthy, safe choices, but they still have the choice. Like, you know, it might be something like, do you want to clean this part up first or this? Or do you want to clean up the blocks or do you want to clean up the balls? Which do you choose to do first? That kind of thing. But it still gives them autonomy over their choices.
Yeah.
And I know we're probably getting too political and I'll probably get something said to me later. That's okay, folks. These are some issues. But anyway, it does sense. Too. Like, people are like, oh, I don't know if that's the hill I'd want to die on. Da, 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 da. And I'm like,
I will choose to die on.
Every time. Every time.
Because
freedom of choice over your own body? Absolutely.
Yeah, it's about body autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
Barefooting rights are about having the choice to do with your body what you choose to do, especially when it is
exactly.
not hurting anybody.
Freak.
Barefooting is not a crime.
I'm not hurting you by not wearing shoes. I might step on something or stub my toe, and that hurts me, but again, ain't hurting you. Why are you so concerned about it?
Yeah.
Yes, it might all of a sudden the temperature might drop and I might feel a little chilly, but it's my choice. It's my responsibility.
Your body.
Yeah. It's my consequence to bear.
Yeah. And body autonomy.
Anybody else's.
And body autonomy is one of the most important things. And it is, you know, we are unfortunately living in a scary time, but we cannot allow ourselves to let fear win.
Right.
Because when we do that, the moment that we have lost all hope and we have let ourselves down and we have let down the people that especially need hope right now down.
Right.
So if you are somebody that cares about body autonomy, please, you know, support our cause. And, you know, this is a nonprofit organization. We just want to spread information on, you know, body and on our bodies, and also the right to barefoot, the right to choose what is right for your body. And, you know, I am very passionate about barefooting rights just as much as I am passionate about all forms of body autonomy, because it all comes down to the same thing, the choice,
mm-hmm.
the choice of your own body.
Yeah.
Because it all boils down to body autonomy. The moment we start deciding when and where you can, you know,
decide it's acceptable to take away somebody's autonomy is the moment there is an issue. I mean, we have a woman-led revolution in Iran right now that, you know, the media doesn't want to cover. They want to push down and oppress, the forcing women to cover their hair, to have long hair, not being allowed to cut their hair, having to wear hijab. And this is not an anti-Muslim movement, you know, because these women, they want the women that choose this for them to have their rights as much as respected of those that do not choose to cover their hair. Because there's so many also interpretations of any religion, just like some Jewish women still cover their hair or wear wigs.
Mm-hmm.
And even certain sects of Christianity do the same thing. A lot of there are even Mormon women that wear wigs and stuff. So this is about choice. And there are people that are trying to act like this is an anti-Muslim movement to slow down the movement, because unfortunately there are a lot of people that benefit from, you know, Iranian and Kurdish women not having their rights. But where do we draw the line? There shouldn't be lines to draw, whether it's covering your hair or whether or not you're allowed to have your natural hair or whether it's about your feet and what's on them. You should not be drawing lines on what is acceptable in terms of body autonomy. Your body is yours.
Exactly.
Because the people that are being oppressed through these right now are not the ones going out and hurting and committing the majority of mass shootings.
I'm pretty sure they all had shoes on.
Just saying.
I'm pretty sure they were all wearing shoes.
But it's important to realize there is a lot of scapegoatism going on right now, and we need to stop blaming people that are just minding their own business.
Right.
And trying to act like that is bringing a risk to people's safety, when what is bringing a risk to people's safety is people that do not respect body autonomy,
people being
or
controlled,
people who do not respect other people's personal authority over their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you are saying that you do not respect body autonomy, you are also saying you do not respect a person's authority over their own body, which makes way for anything to happen to that person.
You don't respect the person.
Yeah.
That's a you problem, not a me problem.
But remember, guys, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States or in U.S. territories. Barefooting is your right.
It's a protected right.
And also, remember, people barefoot for spiritual or religious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so be respectful of people's beliefs. Me and Audrey both have our own spiritual reasons for barefooting, and we know many people that do, personally and, you know, and unpersonally, you know, that we
it doesn't have to be a quote-unquote organized religion. It can be your own spirituality. It does not have to be fall under any certain sect or religion. It's spirituality.
And the difference between spirituality and religion is a social institution,
mm-hmm.
and it is. It's recognized as that in psychology. So our schools are social institutions. And any club you're involved in is a social institution.
Spirituality is
your own personal journey and relationship with a supreme being or a non-human entity. So
sometimes even with yourself,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, realizing who you are as a person and what you're supposed to be doing. So,
yeah. And, or even just greater forces in general. They may not necessarily be deities, but spirituality also includes like supernatural forces or beyond human forces. And please be respectful of, you know, people's spiritual or religious relationship with barefooting. But people also benefit for medical reasons, like we've talked about with, you know, being neurodivergent, with mental health. Barefooting has been proven to help with panic attacks. That's how we got picked up with Mix 105 Indie Internet Radio. Was because the guy, and this is information
Austin.
That he is Austin. This is information that he has shared.
Right.
We're
not breaking HIPAA.
Yeah, he has shared this when we had him on the show to introduce that we were also going to be picked up by Mix 105 Indie Internet Radio. But for him, his therapist recommended taking his shoes off to help with his panic attacks, and it helped so greatly. And then eventually he came across Barefoot is Legal, and then he came across our radio show, and it was something that resonated with him. And It can help with being neurodivergent, with being overstimulated. It has physical benefits. You know, myself as somebody that has chronic illnesses, it's helped a lot with my joint issues. And especially with my, you know, as somebody that has osteoarthritis, it's really helped. It's helped with my muscle issues and my nerve issues greatly. I feel like it's even helped with my mental and emotional health for sure. It's helped with my emotional health and processing trauma as well. I talked more about the neurodivergent and mental aspect earlier about how barefooting has helped me, but it's also helped a lot with processing emotions and trauma. And there is research out there and research is still being developed to show that we do experience emotions in the body before we experience them in the mind and are consciously aware of them. Emotions are literally a feeling that we have in our bodies. And there are a lot of bodily reactions and that happen.
Physiological,
but like, just a lot of reactions that happen in our bodies in general to our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a complex relationship between the mind and the body. And so I definitely feel like barefooting has its place in processing traumas and understanding emotions. Giving full fluid range of movement with our bodies is really important. And think about how, you know, our feet are our root. And in a lot of spiritual studies, the feet are connected to trauma. And so the dimension connected to your feet or even your knees sometimes, that is associated with trauma and pain in our inner child and especially childhood family traumas or any trauma experienced within childhood. And so connecting with your feet is really important to connect with yourself. But I also think just having that full range of your body and full range of movement really helps with those healing and processing of emotions that have to be done with our bodies, because they're not realizing that that movement is literally healing. It helps with processing emotions. And so obviously we all have different capabilities in movement, but however you are able to move.
Well, I mean, they've even realized now, even like when you get a sprained muscle, they don't want to cast it or stabilize it as long because you need to move it more to heal faster. After you have surgery, they tend to get you up like that day. And they used to have you laying in bed for days. Now they're realizing, you know, even that, like when I had my knee surgery, the first one they told me not that, it's funny because they were so close too, but anyway, the first one was I wasn't supposed to do anything for 2 weeks, get help to the bathroom, don't put any weight on it whatsoever. Well, then the next one, that was even literally just a few months after that, was, you know, get up walking around that day, start your physical therapy, you know, within 3 days, but make sure you're moving. You know, yeah, the yada.
Level of pain.
Yeah. But, like, actually get on it and move it. Try to weight bearing, even though, you know, because they were the exact same surgery on both knees. The exact same thing. But it's funny, like, you know,
it probably had a lot to do with the research that's been put out.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like how much things have elevated so quickly. And you have to think, too, an injury that is a physical trauma to the body.
Right.
And that's why they were referred to it a lot of times as trauma, or they have the trauma centers at hospitals, which are when, you know, people need to be treated right away for injuries. And so there's different types of trauma. There is mental trauma, there's emotional trauma, and there's physical trauma. And trauma is anything that disrupts the central nervous system. Well, when you have an injury, that disrupts the central nervous system, because naturally your body starts producing certain chemicals and hormones to help combat the what is experiencing with that injury to help you survive and cope with the pain and the experience. And so it naturally, with it disrupting the homeostasis flow of hormones and neurotransmitters, this is a disruption to the central nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm talking about trauma being processed in the body, that does include physical traumas. And so the only way to really fully heal is to also engage the body. Engage the body with where that trauma occurred in the body.
Right.
It's really important to do healing in those regions. Even spiritual healing in those regions can be benefit. And so we do have to engage our bodies in healing. And I feel like barefooting is the key way to be able to heal. Even from a spiritual standpoint, earth in most cultures is identified with an element of healing, of regeneration, of purifying, of cleansing, of revitalizing. Earth itself is looked at as, you know, an element of life,
mm-hmm.
and the ability to create. But even research has proven that patients, even bedridden patients that have, trees outside their windows versus those that would have like brick buildings or city scenes, basically, outside mm-hmm. their window.
Nature versus man-made.
Yeah. Or people that have those nature scenery outside their windows heal exponentially faster and are able to recover exponentially faster.
Mm-hmm.
And it's proven that being around nature is healing. And even through my own personal healing and self-healing and learning how to cope with my body, like I was menstruating this past week and being out in nature and, you know, earth and water are considered feminine elements in most cultures, but not all. It really helps with my period symptoms, and I'm somebody with endometriosis, and I do experience a lot of hormonal issues during my mm-hmm. period. I feel like it helps balance my hormones and my
Absolutely.
Emotions. And being able to connect with earth and water and being able to barefoot really helps a lot with my pain and with other growth, not even just like growth and like, ew, periods, but like growth as in I hate experiencing them. Symptoms that my period.
I say, don't get graphic on here, babe.
You know,
nobody wants to hear that. I can promise.
The emotional part, you know, it's kind of gross to me. You know, I've already talked about
autism
and I have hormonal aspect is gross.
Well, and I have a special spot there in the woods that we go to whenever I'm like literally having a really bad time. There's just one spot that I go to, and I tell them, I'm like, I'm going to talk to my mom because I do. And it's obviously, it's mostly, you know, think about what would she have told me if she were still around and whatnot, but that's like, it's my healing spot is what I call it. It's my special healing spot where I can go, and it's water, it's rocks, it's trees, it's all of it, it's nature, and almost nobody can find it, so it's very quiet. You know, even in the summer, like, most people don't know how to get to it, so it's, there's not very many people, so it's quiet, you know, and I think having a spot like that for anybody, you know, just finding... You know, and even when people ask me, like, where my spot is, I'm like, I can't tell you that because then it'll get overcrowded.
Sacred, yeah.
As soon as, like, if you find it, you find it, but I'm not going to tell you.
It's one of those things where sacred places are meant to find you. They're meant to find
you. Exactly. That's the other thing. It's like, if you're meant, yeah. And that's what I tell them. If you're meant to be there, you'll find it. Otherwise, I can't. It's my place. My
mm-hmm.
spot. And it's funny, too, because then I think, like, where it is, it might get busy sometimes, but every time I'm there that I feel the need to be there,
mm-hmm.
it's not. So, not
yeah.
get all wacky-jacky on
no,
anybody.
No, and we go
but...
to the same place, and I figured out where yours is just from when you were describing it.
Yeah, but
you to me because I had a loved one who also had a very similar in some ways as we were talking about spiritual experience in the same
mm-hmm.
place, and they stumbled across it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know... And so I was like, oh, yeah, I know where that is, but, like, I have my own sacred spot, and it's really not that far from there, but I never go over there because it's, like, I have my own spot, and you know, and the people that I'm, like, close to that come out with me, like, I'll take them there because, you know what I mean, like, and they're always like, oh, my God, thank you, like, this is what I need.
There's only two people I've taken to my spot, actually, my husband and one of my best friends, so.
Like, yeah, like, it's been, like, the... Two friends that are
like they
yeah,
can both benefit
when
from
I think
it.
About like anybody I brought there is like my ride or die people
mm-hmm.
to my
mm-hmm.
sacred spot. And
yeah. Oh dang, it's 2:49.
Yeah,
for real.
I need to wrap up. But one thing I am currently like researching, I don't have good resources to share yet, but that got sparked by me this past week with, you know, menstruating and realizing how barefooting was really helping and being out in nature was so helpful and how different I would feel at home while on my period, even as somebody with a disability, like physically even speaking, how walking around and being out in nature, I just felt so much better than sitting around my apartment, how my, you know, period symptoms were just so much better. One thing I'm looking at is finding the connection between, you know, barefooting and grounding and period symptoms. And I wonder, too, is we've already seen how a lot of the health issues have been connected to not being grounding, and a lot of like chronic illnesses, a lot of inflammation issues are connected to not being grounded enough and too much electromagnetic energy in the body, and then how barefooting or grounding can exponentially help with that. I'm wondering too if a lot of the inflammation that women or anybody with uterus, I should say, that are experiencing when during menstruation, how much of that is also a part of this not being grounded aspect? Mm. Because I've had friends that, you know, like if they're on their periods and stuff, I'm like, okay, like let's go out and hike. And I brought it up to my one friend because I've used this as like, you know, coping skill for her, barefooting in general, but even when on your period. And when I brought up this to her, she was like, no, I bet there is. I bet there is. That's all you told me about the
well,
research.
Well, then it makes sense too, because if it helps with my regular, you know, it helps with your regular everyday pain. Like it helps me with fibromyalgia pain, which anybody that doesn't have it, sometimes you literally just feel like you are on fire. Sometimes,
oh, yeah.
Sometimes
and
it actually,
sometimes it feels like,
well, and then sometimes, you know, like literally like you're burning, and then sometimes it can, like, based on how your nerves want to react, sometimes it feels like there's a Mack truck parked on you, like everything just feels squashed. Sometimes it feels like, you know, and then like when I'm at work and I have these symptoms and they're like increased because whatever reason, I forget my meds or I've taken them, but like they're not working
or
that day, or I'm stuck in freaking shoes. I will take my shoes off and ground for a minute to make just to center myself to feel better, because I'm telling you, when you get that fire pain, oh, nobody, I've been told nobody realizes I'm in that much pain, so I know I can mask pain really well, but like will literally feel like I am somebody who's lit me on fire.
No,
and
you
know,
your whole body,
like,
but
taking
burned.
My shoes off
yeah.
and grounding myself is what needs to be done in order to, you know, it just, it helps, and it's because, you know, whatever scientific, metaphysical reason, that's what helps me.
Well, and I can even testify that when I'm getting that burning pain, being able to ground out in nature, being able to barefoot, being able to feel the grass and feet really does help with that fire burning pain that fibromyalgia comes with and all those other symptoms and stuff.
Yeah.
And so also to the research that Ober has done, he found that barefooting or grounding through his research has been able to like help so much with inflammation. And there's a lot of inflammation associated with arthritis and fibromyalgia. And I have both of those. But he's done a lot of research where it helped like 12 out of 13 patients, if not all, because there were different studies. But out of the studies I read, like it was usually like one person in one of the studies or two that didn't have those amazing benefits, which shows they probably have a bigger issue going on here that may need more attention.
Or they weren't doing it 100% like they claim to do.
Sometimes people are liars, so.
Yeah, but I'm not sure how they did the testing, like how they monitored it exactly. But it has been proven to help with inflammation in the body, and I'm sure that there is research out there that I'm trying to dig through and figure out, like what I can actually share, you know, too, with people. And that is, you know, good information to share and have on us. I feel like barefooting really does even help with menstruation pain. And I think we are just now starting to understand menstruation. Remember, you know, decades ago, like women with endometriosis were dying because nobody took them seriously. Like, this is a real thing. They're real cases about women experiencing all this pain and they couldn't find anything wrong with them. But then during their autopsies, they found that they're, uterine tissue had grown and
if
had
they even bothered to give them an autopsy.
Yeah.
I usually only did that because, you know, once someone dies, you had license to mutilate them for science.
But a lot, some of these women that they did actually do autopsies on, they found that, oh my God, there was a real issue and their uterine tissue was like spreading to their other organs and even attacking those other organs.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that, you know, there is use of barefooting with, you know, grounding with periods and, you know, so I hope to be able to get some research resources together that we can put in the link tree for you guys to check out. If you're online here listening to Barefoot is Legal, in the caption bio, there's a link to our link tree where you can see a link to all of our links. And it has links to last week's show, but it has a bunch of other resources that we've tagged that are really good. A lot of them get into the electromagnetic research of barefooting and grounding in general. But there's also links to our other social medias on there as well. But yeah, I definitely recommend checking it out. You can find us on Instagram at RealBarefootIsLegal. Audrey is the admin here. And you can also find us at barefootislegal.org, which is also tagged in the link tree. But it's really important to remember that there are real physical benefits to barefooting. This isn't just something that we're making up.
We're not just cocoa butter beans people that want to rebel and go barefoot. That's not what
like,
this is.
We're not crazy.
There's literal reasons that we do it.
Yeah.
Literal, legitimate reasons.
Yeah, we're not just crazy.
I mean, we're crazy, but I'm a safe crazy, so I tell my students and family. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely crazy, but I'm a safe crazy, Sue. I'm the type that'll protect you until the end. I'll be the one that if we did actually, because we have to do shooter drills, I'll be the one that's actually, like, making everybody else hide while I throw staplers and stuff at their head. Like, bring it on, stupid. That's the level of crazy I am.
Well, also, a lot of us as neurodivergent people, like, we're also labeled crazy, or we are kind of crazy in a way because we're not aligned with the society. But it's not that we're actually crazy. It's just that we're different. We're neurodivergent. Like,
right.
Hello.
Well, and I like to say, here's my thing, is you think I have a hard time keeping it quiet anyway, so do you really think a shooter wouldn't find us? Think about it. My babies cry less than I talk when we're high, when we do our drills. Literally, the babies cry less than I talk when we do these drills. I'm like, no, I'm not going to sacrifice it. I will go out there and start throwing staples and a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, forget that. I'm not going to be the reason they find us. Like,
nope. But just be safe, guys, and, you know, listen to your body, listen to your mind, and listen to your heart. Listen to all the facets of you and what do they need? What are they telling you? You know,
right.
We can get so caught up in other people's expectations for us that we can lose sight of what we actually need and what's actually going on with us.
Right.
And, you know, I give you all permission to listen to your bodies if you need it, you know, because I know sometimes it's hard. But really the only permission that you need is from yourself.
Okay? I was going to say something, but I figured that you figured that one out.
But, you know, just remember, you have that right to listen to yourself. And you also have that right to barefoot. There are no laws or health codes against barefooting.
You have the right to tell people no.
Mm-hmm.
No is not a bad word. Just saying.
It's not. It's just a boundary.
Oh.
Statement.
And we just got our 90-second warning. So remember, Google us, find us, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube,
yeah.
Rumble. Probably forgetting something. I don't know. TikTok. What?
But there's also, if you go to Real Barefoot is Legal on Instagram, there's a link in the link there is a Linktree link that'll take you to our site. So I definitely recommend checking it out. Or if you're on Blog Talk Radios right now, there's a Freedomizer Radio. I was saying Blog Talk.
Well, that's what we
site.
Use, but no,
you're
yeah.
Good. If you're on Freedomizer Radio, you can click the link in the caption bio for the show to our link tree as well. But just be safe, guys. Keep living your best barefoot lifestyle. Listen to yourselves and love yourself.
Absolutely. And just be kind, help when you can. Don't be a jerk. That simple. All right. We'll be back next week, guys.